Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
Ooh, I just caught a whiff of a smell I didn't expect.
Does it smell like anything to you?
The aftertaste of this thing is pretty rancid.
Spanks a Tootsie Roll.
You can upload an image of your package.
It was a stressful Halloween.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 101 of the Hungry Dads Podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
Hugh, I have a mystery for you. What episode is this?
You just said it, Rod Budget.
The mystery episode.
It's the mystery episode.
Right. What a terrible joke to get us started. We're off to a bad start. Tonight we're going to talk about mystery flavors. We've talked a lot about flavor contests, specifically Lay's do us a flavor. I'm pretty intrigued still by mystery flavor things. And specifically, I got on this topic due to the recent Oreos mystery flavor contest, which caught my eye, and I thought it was a good idea. We've talked about how there are so many different Oreo flavors now that it's kind of exhausting and it's overkill. But when I saw the mystery flavor, I was kind of like, that interests me. Maybe because it was a cookie instead of a chip, but whatever it was, I was interested in trying to guess the Oreos mystery flavor.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rod, and we talked about this before. I got quickly exhausted by all the Oreo flavors. Look, on this show, one of the big things that turns us on is all kinds of new and interesting flavors. But Oreo came so fast, so furious with so many different flavors that I just finally decided I don't even want to try to keep up. I don't buy boxes of cookies or bags of cookies that often. To the pace they were bringing them out, I would have had more cookies in my house than even I would have known what to do with. And they come in those big bags. So very early on, I was thinking we should be covering these extensively. Then I cut bait because it was just too much. But as you said, I agree. The mystery Oreo is maybe that exception. It sucked me in. I'm very curious about it. Speaking of mystery foods, you know, there are a couple of other foods out there. Perhaps the most ubiquitous one, and I don't know if you thought of it or not, Rob, but is the Dum Dum, the mystery flavored Dum Dum.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And do you know the story behind the mystery Dum Dum?
I do not. That's a blast from the past.
So you got Dum Dums in all different flavors, but then there's always some with a purple wrapper, and it's a mystery flavor, a question mark on it. And I actually know the secret of the mystery Dum Dum. What it is it is the mixture of two flavors as they're changing out the machine on the Dum Dum making machine. It's really just any two flavors as they are crossing over from one flavor production to the next.
So it's like the crumbs on the floor, or the like scraps, the leftovers. Yes. Ah, it's good to know.
And similarly, you may be familiar with, there's a mystery flavor, Airheads. You know Airheads, the chewy candy?
Yes.
And that's the same theory, is they basically just whatever's left over in the machine of all flavors before they add the coloring, because the mystery Airheads are white, they just put it all together and they extrude it in a white mystery flavor.
Well, it's somewhat disgusting and disappointing.
So I can only assume that what Oreos has done here is taken all of the various flavors they've made, coffee and lemon and
hot chocolate
and all these, and just mix them together without adding the coloring, and that's what we've got here. So I expect this to taste like
it
a garbage disposal.
So with the mystery Oreo flavor, we're coming at it from two different angles here. Myself, Rod Budget, I got a pack of them about 3 weeks ago and just kind of blew through them, so I've eaten them all. I've shared them with a few people to get their feedback, and I've gotten feedback from social media, just doing some research, and come up with a kind of overall big picture guess at the mystery flavor. And however, Hugh Gallen has not tried them at all yet. So on my end, I've got all sorts of research. I have a very well thought out kind of hypothesis, but on Hugh's end, it's going to be an instantaneous read.
I mean, one thing I've done is I have been keeping myself in a media blackout on this issue, because I only assumed that the answer, the definite answer, is out there on the internet without any sort of question. So I have made my business not to stumble upon it.
I will say, to that end, there is a consensus on social media.
All right, is that my cue to open my mystery bag? So it's, you know, I don't know, just packaging-wise, illuminate your theater of the mind, it's a white bag as opposed to the normal blue bag, and it's, you know, got the Oreo cookie on front, torn apart, and then there's a question mark imprinted onto the cream, I suppose, to indicate the mystery of the flavor. All right, so first and foremost, let me just open this up. I just caught a whiff of a smell I didn't expect.
They're very pungent.
Very fragrant. Okay. So the first thing I was going to say was, Oh, wow. Oh, they are like flowery fragrant. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Intense.
So, I mean, I'm going to assume that the cookie part is consistent chocolate and the cream is where the mystery is. Now, I did just catch a whiff. I don't know if I should just take a bite of the cookie, if I should tear it apart and smell it. I'm going to start off with a standard bite and see what I yield here. Wow. They are fragrant.
It's intense, yes.
It's funny. I got something in my head right now. I feel like it's something that they already have done. I'm catching almost like a bit of sourness, bitterness to it. I swear they've already done it. I'm going to say like lime, like key lime pie or something.
Wow. Hugh Gallen, that is my exact guess. Key lime pie is what
that one, all right.
The consensus. Well, that's what I came to. That I'm the only one who I've ever seen anywhere on social media or anybody else who I know who's tried it who has said key lime pie.
Really?
We might have nailed it.
Rod, I have absolutely no pre-knowledge of this whatsoever.
No, I promise out there in the podcasting universe, you and I have not discussed this at all. Wow, this is interesting.
What puts it over the top is the bitterness of the, you can, it's like the key lime pie, I think good key lime pie has like some of the rind in it, like, and I taste that. I taste the, what do they call that when you take the rind and you like flake it off?
Oh man, I think that's rinding.
There's a word for it.
Well, all right, I got lots of thoughts now, but
just to give it a review, I mean, look, I'm going to eat the whole bag eventually. They're cookies, but I don't love it.
I
don't either. And like,
they're very, like you said, very intense and sweet.
And like, I mean, because if you handed me a plain Oreo right now, I would take it over this in a heartbeat.
Well, this is very interesting because I have a lot of thoughts and I have a lot of things to share. So, first thought, Mrs. Budget tried them. She likes standard Oreos. She's not a huge fan of sweets, but she likes Oreos. And Mrs. Budget loves key lime pie. Mrs. Budget took a bite of the mystery Oreo, ran to the sink, spit it out, and washed her mouth out for about 10 minutes and couldn't get the taste out of it. She despised it and couldn't even venture a guess because she just wouldn't taste it again. Her quote was, "Perhaps it is tropical nastiness."
And you see, to me, that reinforces the likelihood that it's key lime pie. And here's why.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
The uncanny valley of flavor. Go ahead, Rod.
No, I was just going to say that if you truly love key lime pie in its authentic form, then you would probably not like it smashed in between an Oreo in a little paste format with artificial flavorings.
Yeah. And a taste that you enjoy in this unnatural, uncanny way is going to turn you off in a hardcore way.
All right, so the next thing I want to bring up, there is a consensus on social media of what the flavor definitely is, and everybody's on board. I've done research, and Oreo has not revealed the flavor. So before I tell you what that flavor is, a couple of things. My theory is, once somebody says something like that, and a few people like say, "Yep, you're right," I think it's a snowball effect on social media. And everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, you're right. That's it." And then before you know it, 100,000 people are liking the comment.
And assuming that that's what it is, it catches on, yeah.
Now, before I say what that flavor is, Hugh Gallen, I want you to close your eyes and just take a big whiff of the cookies. And kind of, I'll give you a little hint. Think of another food. Like a branded food. Does it smell like anything to you?
I mean, I'm very stuck on citrus right now.
Well, that's the right angle.
Tang?
Think cereal.
Oh, Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles. Everyone's convinced it's Fruity Pebbles. Which it smells like, but I don't think it tastes like.
No, it doesn't.
And I don't think Oreo would do a big co-op marketing thing with Fruity Pebbles
post?
And have it be a mystery flavor.
They really don't taste like.
They do smell like.
There's a distinct bitterness to the taste that has to be intentional. I can get how the internet would get all excited about that, but no, the aftertaste of this thing is pretty rancid.
I'm still coming out and saying it is not Fruity Pebbles. I will put my reputation on the line.
Because we've been so right so many times when we put our draw a line in the sand on something.
We said Crispy Taco would win.
We did. We took a real bold stance there.
After 5 years, we got one. Well, Hugh, now that we've nailed the flavor, clearly key lime pie, I still can't believe we both got it right off the bat, agreeing when nobody else seems to think it's that. I have some bad news. In order to win the contest, you don't have to get the flavor right, which is awful and disappointing, but I kind of knew it. There's laws out there, as you may know, as a practicing podcaster, that it's against the law, basically. It's gambling if you have people guess, like, certain things, and a mystery flavor being one of those.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I hadn't really, you always see on these contests, you know, no purchase necessary to win, and I actually never went out of my way to look up the details of that, but really what it comes down to is if they do not offer an opportunity for people to enter and win without making a purchase, it's essentially a lottery. And lotteries are only allowed to be sanctioned by the government entities. So to say that you can only win if you buy something, that's a lottery ticket, right? So they have to create this release for people to win through other means. And in this one is interesting. I'm looking at the rules. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. You can send a 3x5 piece of paper with your information to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and
we should do that.
Apparently, you get a sweepstakes entry, but you can also your bonus entries up to three other ways. You can upload your receipt to some sort of website. You can upload an image of your package. You can mail in your proof of purchase. The one thing it does say is that under the submission guidelines, your submission cannot be sexually explicit or suggestive or violent or derogatory of any ethnic, racial, gender, religious, professional, or age group, profane, or pornographic. So just keep that in mind, Rod Budget.
I thought you were supposed to upload an image of your package.
Oh, Rod Budget, that was a great joke. So just keep any sort of reference to firearms, weapons, drugs, or tobacco out of your photograph.
I think it's cigarettes.
A lot of different rules here. So if you're going to go the bonus sweepstakes route, just be careful what's in the background of your photo. Now, Rod Budget, we have talked about mystery flavors before on the podcast. Believe it or not, going back many, many episodes, going back the most amount of episodes we can even go back, because it goes all the way back to episode one, where we spoke about another mystery flavor. They called them test flavors, but Doritos had done an experiment with three test flavors of their chips. And I think we should play a clip from that, Rod Budget.
Wow. The archives.
Pull it back from the archives. Wow. And honestly, Rod, if nothing else is worth hearing, it's listening to our very novice, our very amateur
terrible
podcast
episode.
Voices.
Terrible.
And I think comparing it to the smooth deliver we have now.
Yeah. You watch season one of Seinfeld, go back and watch it. It's terrible. It's awful.
Episode one of Hungry Dads. Give it a listen, folks.
Time Warp.
Hungry Dads.
This was the Doritos Mystery Flavor campaign. This happened in between the two Do It's the Flavor contests. And what this was they put out three flavors of Doritos without telling you what the flavor was. They called it Test Flavor 404, Test Flavor 855, and Test Flavor 2653. Before I had even tried them, I heard about this, and I, like I said, I got excited. I'm not going to lie. I think that chips are one of those things that I get interested in. And the good folks at Doritos, they have me pegged, let's face it. I want to read a marketing quote. It says, "There's nothing as bold as stepping into the unknown and crunching into an unknown mystery chip with over-the-top flavor. It's one way we're inviting fans to be bold with the Doritos brand," explained Ram Krishnan, Vice President of Marketing. "Our bold flavor experiment is the latest example of how we're rewarding our fans for making bold choices. This time by trying our mystery Doritos jacked flavors and voting for the bold flavor they like best." Now, I read this.
But is it bold? That's my question.
Well, that sentence certainly doesn't have much left if you don't use words like, if you take out words like bold and crunching. I did boldly crunch into the unknown, and what I found was that Test Flavor 404 was easily the best of the three. It was a smoky sweet note with a note of lime at the end. Now, let me repeat that. It was smoky and sweet with a note of lime at the end. And that ended up being Caribbean citrus jerk.
Wow. You nailed that. You nailed it.
Yeah. I was pretty pleased with that. Test Flavor 855 was very spicy. It was basically just hot. And I shouldn't say just hot because it did have some flavor. But it was one of those where I didn't like it, if for no other reason, because I couldn't eat more than 5 or 10 of them, which is probably the amount of chips you're supposed to eat.
No, I don't think so. Not if they taste good.
At a certain point, my mouth was burnt and I was done. And so for that reason, they didn't get top ranking for me. That was revealed to be Spicy Street Taco. The last flavor was easily the hardest flavor to identify. And I actually ended up looking at the ingredients
for a hint, and then once I saw the ingredient list, I was pretty clear on what I was having. And it was, in fact, the flavor was chipotle chocolate bacon.
Which seems like they just threw together three words that sound pretty yummy.
which they did, and I would say they did it with some success. The flavor that was throwing me off was, not surprisingly, the chocolate. And so I'd eat this thing that had some spice to it, and then it had something else. And it's kind of like what I'd actually thought it was a mole sauce. It was like a Spanish, where they use a cocoa for like a savory, which is essentially what this was. And I looked at the ingredients, and I saw cocoa powder, and I said, ah, chocolate. That is exactly what I was tasting. Very good. I think it could become a real flavor. I didn't think it was as good as the Caribbean citrus jerk, so in the end, it didn't get my vote, but I give it high marks. Suffice to say, if they repeat the Doritos mystery flavors the same way they've repeated the Lay's Do Us a Flavor contest, I will be participating. I thought it was fun. The day we bought the bags of the three chips, we ended up having some people over at our house, and everyone was tasting them and giving their opinion.
Everybody can relate to the chips flavors.
Yeah, it was a nice little icebreaker for having some folks over.
Time warp.
If you've listened to this past episodes over the years, we touch on Halloween. It's obviously a big candy holiday, and you may remember that Rod Budget, myself, is famous for my unattended cauldron attempts over the years. For those of you who are just joining us and aren't familiar, basically I identify an unattended cauldron around the neighborhood. This is people who are out trick-or-treating or just aren't home, but leave a bucket out with candy in it, and I sneak up and try to get some candy and analyze it. I've been successful, I've been unsuccessful, and this year there's a little bit of a twist on the unattended cauldron. So, Hugh.
Yeah, I was actually just analyzing our system here and noting the two new Halloween recordings for our Halloween retrospective. So I should start with Cauldron 17.
This is Rod the Ripper Budget. It is about 6:25 on Halloween evening, and I'm on the other end of the unattended cauldron spectrum this year. I am leaving an unattended cauldron. I'm taking a picture. It wasn't well planned. We've got a full cauldron of assorted Hershey's, pretty premium stuff. You got Reese's Pieces, peanut butter cups, Hershey's chocolate bars. I'm concerned. I'm going to check back after we take the kids out, probably in about an hour, and I'm concerned it's just going to all be gone, but I will let you know.
Interesting. So a bit of a cliffhanger. You left the cauldron out this year.
That's right. The tables have been turned, and this year, yours truly, Rod Budget, left the unattended cauldron. Didn't plan it out very well. We got good candy. I think that was a big stress point for me. We had about 180 pieces of assorted Hershey's chocolate. So some Hershey bars, the cookies and cream Hershey's, Reese's peanut butter cups.
High-quality cauldron candy is a liability.
Yeah, it was a stressful situation, to say the least. My job for the night was our two-year-old can't make it around the block. He's not going to make it too far, but I took him to about four or five houses. So I was gone for, as you'll hear, about 45 minutes to an hour, because when I got back, I had to put him to bed. I couldn't check in on the cauldron. I left it out there. The next recording, Hugh Gallen, if you want to check it out, is me looking back at the cauldron. And do you think there'll be candy in the cauldron or not? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
Before I answer that and make the big reveal, a couple of observations. I think we, as dads, our kids are growing up, I'm finding myself in the same situation. I know the first couple of years, you know, when I had an infant, staying home with the infant and passing out candy was a role you had. Now that we have two and you have three and they're all getting to be of trick-or-treating age, I'm finding both parents need to be out for the trick-or-treating and the kids are out, which means the unattended cauldron is an inevitability as the cauldroner. I want to get to your side of the story first, but we have cauldroned the last 2 years now ourselves, and I've got some thoughts.
You're cauldroners.
We're cauldroners. But to go to your point, yeah, it's we try to buy a mix of high quality and low quality candy, and there's always a big negotiation about how much of each to put out. You know, you don't want a bucket full of Tootsie Rolls to let everyone down. Man. You want to have faith in society. So 6:25, I gotta say, 6:25 to what, 7:30 or so. I think that's pretty early. I don't expect too much tomfoolery on your cauldron, but let's give it a listen and see what happens. Is this appropriately labeled new recording 6 would be the magic file?
Yes, that is
aptly
our
named.
Proprietary system has named it for us, I see. New
aptly
recording
named,
6.
New recording 6. Let's give that a listen, folks.
Rod the Ripper Budget checking back in at 7:36 p.m.
the candy bucket, the unattended cauldron, is running very low on candy. It's not cleaned out. Based on the overall traffic I've seen tonight, I think someone took a lot of it, but not all of it. Or maybe kids just took big, huge handfuls. That's more likely. I think if everybody was taking one or two pieces, there would be well more. But on the bright side, nobody just dumped the entire thing in their bag. So the youth of America, it's not great, but it's not terrible.
All right, a bit of a split decision there. Like you said, no one cleaned you out completely. But that's pretty early for such bold measures.
Right. I mean, I made the recording Halloween night, and then I made some more observations since the recording. So I'm pretty sure that what happened was kids came, and they didn't want to clean the whole thing out, but they took like 5 to 6 pieces of candy each. I don't think they took one piece and moved on. So I think they kind of split the difference between cleaning out the whole cauldron and being respectful and taking one piece.
Did the age groups, was it a wide age group from little to, you know, junior high age? Is that what it was? Because obviously the age and the parental guidance is going to have a big factor on how much is taken
right.
Each time.
The specific story that led me to this conclusion was, once I got back and put our youngest to bed, it was then my job to go out. And I attended the cauldron and sat out in the driveway and kind of distributed the candy. The first group of kids who came up after I was attending the cauldron, there were 3 boys, probably about age 8 to 10, and they literally sprinted to the cauldron, put both hands mm-hmm. in the bucket, and yelled in my face, "How much? How much?
Yeah,
how much?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I made a joke and said, "It's free." And they didn't really get it. Then I was like, kind of seriously, like, "Just take 2, guys. 2's good." And they kind of disappointedly took 2. Mm-hmm. And then I looked up, not to get on a big tangent of being like an old crotchety man, and their dad was like standing there and like not saying anything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Come
interesting.
On,
yeah, a parent like, could have a little
have
bit
have some control of your kids. So I think it was like those type, that age group. I will go on with the story a little bit and say that we ran out of candy because I was unattended and people took a lot, and then I attended it, and it was a pretty heavy traffic night. And let me tell you, running out of candy and like looking at that bowl while you're sitting there and starting to run low is one of the most stressful things you could have possibly imagined. Because I was like, all right, we might have enough. And then like a big group would come, and I'd look and I'd say, no, we're not going to have enough.
Oh, wow.
And then it got down to like 10 pieces. And
at that point, you know you're sunk.
Yeah, I knew I was sunk. And then, of course, when you're down to like 6 pieces, I'm like, of course, it's going to be like a group of like 20 trick-or-treaters coming up, and I'm going to have 6
yeah.
pieces. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. It was like Mr. Budget. As they were coming up, I was like, I'm almost out. They kind of ran, and I took the last piece, and I like threw it up in the air.
Wow.
Kind of is like a fun thing, but also like a final straw of like, I'm done, like it's over. I'm throwing it up in the air. And then, let me tell you, it hit me, like, we have Halloween decorations, we have lights in the shrubs, we have jack-o'-lanterns glowing invitingly, and it hit me pretty quickly, like, I'm out of candy. And I literally, like, sprinted and unplugged the decorations turned all the lights out.
Shut down
and went inside. And by the time I did that, I turned around and there were, like, kids kind of, like, looking at me. And I was like, sorry, I'm out, man. It was a stressful Halloween.
Wow, yeah.
The unattended cauldron. Like you said, I got to give it more thought next year.
Really quickly, I'll tell you the story of our cauldron. We are not in a hugely high traffic area, so I think the stakes were a little lower for us. I wasn't as concerned, and we intentionally bought a mix of high quality and low quality candy. Your Tootsie bag and your Reese's Hershey's bag, pretty much mixed, even distribution in a bowl, and put it out. We're gone for a few hours, came back largely to a very reasonable amount of candy left over. Came inside. It was about 8:30, it was very dark, and I was exhausted. Our kids were exhausted. I decided to just let the cauldron keep doing its work. I wasn't going to distribute candy. Left the porch light on, put the kids to bed, and actually went upstairs. And came out the next morning expecting to see something in the cauldron. It was late. Completely cleaned out. Cleaned out.
That's kind of scary.
We didn't have more than half a dozen visitors in that past 8:30 at night in my neighborhood. So someone came, dumped the bucket, and moved on.
Wow.
And I'm not sure I really mind.
Other than the fact that it's a little creepy.
Right.
I was about to say, when you said you like went upstairs for the night like and left the cauldron out, oh, that's kind of, it's a little creepy. Like, it's something very Halloween to that. Like, you're inviting people like right up to your doorstep.
While I sleep.
You're not even anywhere around. You're like up in your pajamas, like in bed, tucked
yep,
in.
And the children are there. Wow. Yeah, and I just left it going. I mean,
any thought of wild animals? Is that a possibility?
You know what? I didn't see any prints, and I didn't see any gnaw marks.
It was not tipped over. I think they would tip the bucket.
And I think a couple of things. I mean, number one, it was late in the night, so to the extent that someone saw their opportunity and took it, I kind of don't mind. It's not like we ran out of candy per se. We actually had more candy in the house. So I consider it kind of a bold move by probably, I agree, a 9 to 12-year-old boy or group thereof who, you know, saw their shot and took it. I'm not sure I blame them.
They're heroes.
If you know me, folks, I'm a big fan of the overindulgent giving of the candy. It's all about the giving of the candy. So to the extent that we were able to give a lot of candy, maybe someone got a windfall from the Gallen household, I'm okay with that. So, Rod, I do have a few takeaways from the act of trick-or-treating that I wanted to share. And, you know, look, my kids came back with the haul, pretty standard haul, a lot of normal stuff, nothing too remarkable. In our neighborhood, for whatever reason, a heavy shortage of Skittles. There's only two packs of Skittles in our entire trick-or-treat bag. Not sure if that was just random or what. But the two things I came back with that I wanted to mention. I've come to learn that in my house, there is a huge dichotomy with respect to Whoppers.
It's a polarizing
candy. I'm not sure we've ever really talked about Whoppers, so I thought I'd take the opportunity. I'm not a huge fan of Whoppers, but I'll eat them. Mrs. Gallen hates them. Like, really finds them despicable. And so I on one side saying they're fine and her on the other side saying they're horrible, we of course put them in front of our children and gave them one each to taste test. Have your children eaten Whoppers?
They have, and they like Whoppers. But again, they like almost all candy that's sweet. And I will chime in that I'm indifferent about Whoppers. I'll eat them. Mrs. Budget hates Whoppers.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Well, you know,
But let me also say that Hot Bobby, the Sultan of Slaw, loves Whoppers. So we're all over the place.
So does the elder Mr. Gallen. All right, we're seeing.
Maybe it's a male.
There's a trend
thing.
Here. I think that more testosterone. We can both admit our fathers are manlier than we are.
It's a manly.
They
candy.
Like Whoppers better than
crunch.
We do, and then bring it down to our lovely wives, who are, you know, appropriately less testosterone filled, do not like them. So I think liking Whoppers might be some kind of natural barometer for testosterone.
There's a line chart that could be made here, I think.
I saw something in our hall this year I've never seen before, a brand new candy. And maybe it's just new to me. Maybe I've been in, you know, not out there on the forefront. It was a chocolate Laffy Taffy. Am I crazy to say I've never seen chocolate Laffy Taffy before, Rod Budget?
I have never seen it.
Right, well, I have some here, and I'm going to taste test it for you folks. And I also have, for comparison's sake, I have a Tootsie Roll, because I think it's arguably the same kind of thing. I want to, you know, we all know what a Tootsie Roll tastes like.
It's the same garbage.
What's your bet? Is a chocolate Laffy Taffy going to be better, worse, or the same as a Tootsie Roll?
Hard to believe it'll be worse. If you don't know, folks, we really come down hard on Tootsie Rolls on the show.
Yeah, this, I mean...
I'll say it's better than a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah. All right, so, and also good news is, Rod, I'm going to have a joke for you here for the podcast.
Laffy Taffy joke.
And the joke is printed on the outside of this Laffy Taffy, and it says, how does a witch tell time?
Let me think. Yeah. Cauldron, broom... I can't think. Am I on the right track?
Let's see. I've opened up the pack.
Oh, you don't know.
I thought it'd be on the inside here. No answer.
Joke's on you, Hugh Gallen.
Joke is on... I don't think there's an answer. Oh! All right. You ready for this one? Get ready. Get ready to laugh. She looks at her witch watch. I think wristwatch.
That's such a stretch.
That one's a bad one.
That is such a stretch. Well, that is the worst.
If you don't like it, you can blame Jeanette M., who's listed and credited as the Joker on this package of Laffy Taffy.
Jeanette M., I'm sure you're listening
She's
tonight.
Probably ate.
We have a vast listenership, and we would like to hear from you. Call in, and we will rip on you on air.
Witch watch. All right, so I've opened up the Laffy Taffy. I'm looking at it. It actually looks a lot like a Tootsie Roll. It's a different shape. It's in more of a square shape, but I'm already sensing it. It's almost exactly. It's kind of like shiny in this. Oh, so it's shinier. It's more polished than a Tootsie Roll.
I'm picturing being slightly less dense. Is it less?
Dense? Let me squeeze it with my fingers. More dense. No, more dense.
Oh wow.
Laffy Taffy. Yeah, it's way more dense. Actually, I can barely dent it. A Tootsie Roll, I can squeeze it to my fingers. More dense. shinier, more polished, and I'm going to take a bite
like
now.
Like a more turdish.
It's more turdish, definitely. All right, ready? Ooh, so much better than a Tootsie Roll.
Of course it is.
Yeah. It's got a decent chocolate flavor. Like, it kind of starts to evolve into like...
Taffy-ish, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got like a cocoa flavor, which sounds stupid to say, but it tastes more like hot cocoa than it does a chocolate bar. Let me just take a bite of my Tootsie Roll here, for comparison's sake.
Yeah, get it in your molars.
This Tootsie Roll tastes like plastic in comparison. I mean, look, in the pantheon of candies, even the chocolate Laffy Taffy is not going to rank high, but it takes a Tootsie Roll to task. I mean, no question.
Spanks a Tootsie Roll. Hungry Dads. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production. We could promote the podcast.
Well, that would be what I would write that into the contract very quickly. Mandatory mentions of the Hungry Dads podcast.
Hugh Gallon is going to go into negotiations with Oreo.
Absolutely. Mondelez Global doesn't stand a chance against Hugh Gallon.
Mondelez Global endorses the Hungry Dads podcast.
Partners.
We're going to have Mondo's Global logos all over the world.
Exactly, and we want equal stock interest in our organization and theirs, basically 50-50.
The Mondo's Global website, we'll see the Hungry Dads.
Exactly. It's going to be Mondelez brought to you by the Hungry Dads podcast. That's the new, our pictures on every bag of Oreos, Run Budget.